Thank you, Pat. I'm really delighted to be able to be here to talk with you today about the recommendations in Putting Patients First, recommendations to speed responsible access to new therapies for Duchenne muscular dystrophy and other serious life-threatening and rare disorders. I'm just going to talk a little bit at the beginning about why this was an important undertaking for PPMD to address and why this issue needs attention now. I'm going to talk then a little bit to review the white paper recommendations themselves, and then I'm going to talk about PPMD's efforts to gain traction for these recommendations and to ensure that they're adopted. So at a very basic level, why did PPMD want to address drug review policy? Well, there are two underlying themes that PPMD has at the basis of its efforts, which are that drugs should be reviewed, taking into account the severity of the disorder targeted by the therapy under evaluation, and that patient preferences with regard to benefit and risk should be incorporated into the decision-making process. So just to illustrate this with an example, if you're thinking about a drug for seasonal allergies, where it's not a life-threatening disorder, it's not a debilitating disorder, and where there are multiple existing therapies, you're going to want to see the gold standard in evidence. So you're going to want to see double-blinded, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trials that involve thousands of patients. On the other hand, when you're looking at a drug that's intended to treat a serious life-threatening disorder where there is not an existing therapy and there's significant unmet medical need, you might expect to see greater flexibility, which could look like historical controls, fewer patients being enrolled in the trial, the use of adaptive trial design, or an approval based on a surrogate endpoint. I'm going to talk about that on the next slide. But overall, this concept of reviewing drugs in the context of the severity of the disorder is not a new concept, and it's a concept that has gained increasing support and traction over the years. So in 1992, the FDA actually created the accelerated approval pathway in response to the AIDS crisis, and it was really intended to allow for a quicker evaluation of the efficacy of a drug using what's called a surrogate endpoint. So this is a laboratory measurement or physical sign that's used as an indirect or substitute measurement. So examples of this might be viral loads for HIV. In Duchenne, people have suggested that you might be able to use MRI imaging for muscle volume and intensity. So those are some examples of surrogate endpoints. So this pathway has actually been strengthened over the years. As I said, it was originally created in regulations issued by the FDA in response to a crisis. But in 1997, the pathway was incorporated into law, and with the passage of the Food and Drug Administration Modernization Act. This law also created the option for an approval to be based on a single clinical trial with confirmatory evidence, whereas previously at least two trials had been required. Much more recently, in 2012, with the passage of FDASIA, Congress again amended and strengthened the accelerated approval pathway, and the amendments were really designed to urge the FDA to take advantage of advances in clinical science and to better address a broader range of disorders using accelerated approval. It also commits the FDA to a number of performance goals, and among those performance goals is the need to better incorporate patient benefit risk preferences. So why did FDASIA look specifically at the use of accelerated approval and rare disorders? Well, in the first two decades of the existence of the accelerated approval pathway, so you can see here, 79 out of 90 approvals were concentrated in just three therapeutic areas. And those therapeutic areas are oncology, HIV/AIDS, and inhalation anthrax. And it's generally understood that this concentration is a result of the fact that there are well-validated surrogate endpoints in these therapeutic areas. But it's important to remember that the accelerated approval pathway doesn't require that the surrogate endpoint be validated. It only requires that it be reasonably likely to predict clinical benefit. So when FIDASIA addressed this in section 901, entitled Enhancement of Accelerated Patient Access to Drugs for Serious and Life-Threatening Disorders with Unmet Medical Need, it really directed the FDA to take advantage of advances in science to apply this more broadly and more effectively. And in order to implement this, the FDA is required to issue draft guidance on the clarified standard for accelerated approval and fast-track processes within 1 year of its passage. And that date is actually July 1st of this year, so just a couple days away. The law also, as I mentioned earlier, commits the FDA to working on improving the incorporation of patient perspectives on benefit risk into the evaluation process. So the law and FIDASIA, the changes made in FIDASIA, really create an important opportunity for improving drug evaluation and review and to speed access to drugs where there is a significant unmet need for therapeutic areas that are serious and life-threatening. But in order to make sure that the law is implemented effectively, it's important to remember that Congress passes the law, the president signs the law, but it's actually going to be the FDA that, in the details of issuing regulations and guidance, is going to, you know, define how this is carried out and how effective it's going to be in practice. So it's important to engage in this process. Much like the legislative process, there is an opportunity to engage, to help shape what those regulations will look like and what that guidance will look like. And so that's what PPMD is doing and attempting to do and undertaking with the white paper recommendations and their activities to support those recommendations. So there are three main activities that PPMD is undertaking in support of making sure that these recommendations are adopted. So the first was actually to issue the white paper, which lays out the case for the four recommendations that are made in it to improve drug evaluation and review. Second, Pat Furlong is also participating on the CACUS Every Life Foundation for Rare Diseases Working Group, which is working to basically issue a much more detailed scientific framework that also addresses how the FDA, in implementing this, should be considering the use of accelerated approval for diseases that are rare or ultra-rare. And then finally, PPMD is engaging in outreach to stakeholders, including members of Congress, the FDA, other advocacy partners in rare disease, industry, and those in the medical and scientific community. So the white paper really is, as I mentioned, designed to just lay out the recommendations about how to improve the review of drugs for rare, serious, and life-threatening disorders. And the paper was guided and the recommendations were guided by an expert advisory committee that included leading authorities from the nonprofit, academic, medical, and pharmaceutical sectors. And their names are listed here and their bios are available on PPMD's website. But suffice it to say that these people have decades of experience and are experts in their fields. So what are the white paper recommendations? Well, first, PPMD urges the FDA to expand the use of accelerated approval for therapies intended to treat rare diseases. Second, the FDA should expand the scope of acceptable endpoints, including novel surrogate and intermediate clinical endpoints, used to approve drugs for serious or life-threatening diseases with significant unmet medical need. They also recommend that using its existing authority, the FDA should move to pilot the use of adaptive approval. And finally, the FDA should give greater weight to the demonstrated benefit-risk preferences of patients, as well as caregivers in the case of pediatric illness, when making benefit-risk determinations. And as you can see, three of these four recommendations, as it's noted here, were recommendations that were actually first made by the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology known as the PCAST, and a 2012 report on compelling drug innovation. And the 2012 report on compelling drug innovation was looking at compelling drug innovation generally, not through the lens of rare disease, but many of the recommendations that they made in this report really apply very well to the need to compel innovation in drugs for rare disease. So on the first recommendation, the PCAST report addressed this as well, saying that the FDA should direct its staff across all divisions to make full use of the accelerated approval track for all drugs that meet the statutory standard, which is serious and life-threatening with unmet medical need. And when you see this reference to across all divisions, that's a reference, again, to the current concentration in just a few therapeutic areas. So the recommendation here is that we should be better applying this and making more effective use of this approval pathway. On the second recommendation, to expand the use of novel surrogate endpoints, the PCAST report also addressed this, saying that, acknowledging that there is a risk, a surrogate endpoint, is based that it's reasonably likely to predict clinical benefit. So there is a small risk that evidence may look as though it's going to improve clinical outcomes, and that won't, in fact, be the case. But the PCAST report concluded that this is an appropriate compromise and that for a serious disease with no good treatments, early access coupled with ongoing knowledge generation presents a good compromise. On the recommendation regarding the use of adaptive approval, the PCAST report recommended that the FDA move to do this immediately under its existing authority. It would give the FDA the option to give a more limited approval to offer a drug to a well-defined group of patients, to monitor outcomes very closely, and to withdraw the drug under expedited procedures if appropriate or necessary. And so while those three of the four were recommended by the PCAST, I don't want to give the impression that the fourth recommendation about patient preferences with risk-benefit wasn't also widely supported. So I've put here a quote from the National Organization for Rare Disorders, which many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with, but represents more than 200 separate rare disease advocacy organizations. And they were addressing what the FDA is now undertaking as a result of FDASIA, which is a 5-year plan to address just 20 therapeutic areas. When you consider that there are more than 7,000 rare diseases, 20 therapeutic areas over 5 years is really not seen to be sufficient. And so NORD has here characterized it as far from adequate. So to ensure that the white paper recommendations gain traction and are actually adopted and implemented by the FDA, PPMD launched the white paper, and they did that by reaching out to the advocacy community, particularly to rare disease advocacy groups, but also to other disorder-specific groups that meet the criteria of serious or life-threatening. They also shared the recommendations with stakeholders in the medical research community and with partners in industry. And they've distributed the white paper and discussed it in meetings with members of Congress and key contacts, obviously, at the FDA and at the NIH. And I think Pat and Ryan will talk about this, I'm sure, a little bit more later, but members of Congress who worked on this law and helped ensure its passage are keenly interested in seeing it be implemented effectively. There's a lot of support for improving the application of the accelerated approval pathway to these rare disorders, and so they are going to be following the progress of this. So following the launch, PPMD is not done. They didn't release the white paper, and then that's it. They are taking advantage of opportunities as they come up to remind policymakers of the recommendations, So some of the ways that they are doing that is monitoring draft guidance that's issued by the FDA and submitting public comments about how that could be improved or what should be in that. They're speaking at public meetings called by the FDA. There are a series of meetings on patient benefit risk preferences. There's a meeting, I think, in October on the development of surrogate endpoints. So PPMD is going to be monitoring the progress on those actions by the FDA and participating in activities to try to influence that. They are also working to make sure that the FDA has the resources it needs to effectively implement FIDASIA, which is not an unimportant aspect. So they are a supporter of the Alliance for a Stronger FDA. They're also engaging in the efforts of other allied organizations, which are also working on ensuring that FIDASIA is implemented effectively. And I'm going to talk about one of the more significant efforts on the next slide. So as I mentioned earlier, the Every Life Foundation is also working on and has actually just released a white paper. And this white paper also looks at the implementation of FIDASIA and the and efforts to better and more effectively apply the accelerated approval pathway to drugs for rare disorders. But this white paper from the Every Life Foundation is a little bit different from PPMD's, that it really is creating a scientific framework that's almost a model guidance for what they hope to see the FDA issue themselves. And so Pat has been participating on that work group, and the FDA itself has actually participated in some of the rare disease workshops. There were a series of five that were held to help frame the white paper and shape its development. So where are we today? PPMD launched the white paper in April, and they have been requesting meetings and reaching out to the FDA. And we're very glad that Dr. Bob Temple from the FDA is here today to talk with you. And they have actually secured a meeting with Dr. Janet Woodcock of the FDA for July 9th. That will give an important opportunity to talk about the expected guidance. Again, the deadline for FDA guidance on the sections of FIDASIA that address accelerated approval and rare disorders is due July 1st. The FDA has recently released, within the last week, guidance for industry that looks at fast-track processes for approval, including accelerated approval and breakthrough therapies, but we haven't yet seen anything that specifically addresses accelerated approval and its application to rare disorders, which the law specifically did direct the FDA to do. So implementation of FIDASIA and its effective implementation is a top priority for PPMD, and it will be a continuing advocacy focus. So expect to see updates on the progress and action alerts from time to time requesting your help. So how can you help? If you haven't already, sign up for PPMD's action alerts. Their newsletters and action alerts will update you as guidance is released and let you know what's in that guidance, and if there are ways that it could be improved, they'll let you know what those are. You should also read the guidance yourself when it's issued. PPMD will certainly submit comments, and they'll work with their allies and advocacy communities to submit comments, but anyone can submit comments to the FDA, so each and every one of you has that opportunity. You can also attend a public meeting and speak to the FDA. Oftentimes, it requires that you sign up in advance, so read the notices for the meetings carefully, but it's a good opportunity for those who are interested to participate. And you can raise awareness by writing a letter to the editor or an op-ed to your local newspaper, because this issue is really important, and it's important to sustain momentum and to remind members of Congress and those in the FDA that people really do care about this issue and that you want to see this law implemented effectively and these improvements to actually be adopted. So with that, thank you, and I hope you'll all support PPMD as they continue their work on this.